Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this morning's message is the first verse of the reading just read. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed. Thus far the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, day of wrath, day of mourning, when to ashes earth is burning, as David and Sibyl have predicted. No, that's not a statement of prediction of the end of the quarter. That is a statement which comes out of the funeral mass and is a part of the background for the event I'm about to describe. On New Year's Eve, in great fear and trembling, people gathered in Rome to celebrate the Mass with the Pope. With the end of the millennium, many expected the Lord to return in judgment. They recalled the words of the funeral Mass. It is reported that some even died in fear of expectation of the Lord's return. With the bells tolling midnight, Pope Sylvester elevated the host. The trumpet did not sound, and the dead were not raised. With great joy, the people received the sacrament and celebrated the year of our Lord 1000. You may remember just a little bit earlier this year, where not the fear of the end of the world bothered us, but the fear of the end of computing bothered us. And the first day of the year came, and the first day of the year went, and the millennium bug did not come and eat our computers. 157 years ago, there was another individual who decided that he had figured out down to the last minute when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was going to return. He spoke, this farmer, this Baptist preacher, for years and years and years, and had convinced people, this William Miller, that the world was about to end at the Feast of Trumpets at the earliest of the year of 1843. They gathered on the mountain, and the trumpet did not sound, and the dead did not raise, and William Miller called for a recount. After much manual recounting of the scripture verses, William Miller had become convinced he had erred by 1 year. And so, with the latest date being March 21st of 1844 for the Lord to return, they gathered once again a little bit more subdued, and again the trumpet did not sound, and the dead were not raised, and the Seventh-day Adventist denomination was founded. So much for millennial predictions. As you know, even from our time and day, people have predicted that the end of the world would come, if we're speaking of Christians and non-Christians alike, in 1914, in 1918, in 1923, in 1975, and Hal Lindsey predicted in 1988, the 40th anniversary of the founding of the State of Israel, and the trumpet had not sounded, and the dead have not been raised, and still the church goes on. We are very tempted, being terribly smug after this recitation of events, to dismiss that the Lord may return at any moment, or to fall into the same trap and be suckered into identifying the Antichrist du jour, and to be able to predict that now it's just a few more years or a few more novels before the end of the world will greet us. St. Paul here urges quite a bit of a different way of approaching the end of the world and the end of time, the second coming of our Lord, and the judgment which follows. Instead of being on the inside track, looking for the information that will tell us that the end of the world is coming, instead of trying to predict down to the minute or to dismiss entirely the return of our Lord, St. Paul urges us to watch and to wait and to expect the Lord to come either any minute now or thousands of years from now. Yes, it really would be wonderful if we could know when Jesus was coming, for certain, down to the day, the hour, and the minute. It would mean that we could go into sort of a spiritual planning mode, like a lot of people do financial planning for retirement. You could parcel out your sins and invest your good works until the day came that you would be in white robes, having sold all your goods and given it to the poor, and stand in the presence of Jesus, fully purged, sinless, and ready to enter into heaven. This may sound a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but really that's the way a lot of folks do approach predictions of the end of the world. Knowing when Jesus comes means that we can relax. We don't have to consider what he would have us to do in life. We don't have to face up to the real possibility that God might blow the whistle, as Bill Cosby once said, and said, "Everybody out of the pool." We would be able to do whatever we would like. In reverse, knowing that he is not coming, as some people seem to be saying to St. Peter, causing Peter to say, "Don't think that the Lord is slow, because he's not going to come." Knowing that he's not going to come also lets us off the hook. After all, with life expectancies in the 80s and the 90s, surely we have a little bit of time to relax and to get it right. But we forget that no one knows when the Lord is going to return. Not even the angels in heaven know, we are told. And Jesus warns us that his return will be very much like it was in the days of Noah, when people were marrying and giving in marriage and trading as if nothing were going to happen, and the rains came and the floods rose, and there was nothing left of this evil world. The Lord will return, and he will return either any minute now, at the end of our lives, or bring the end of eternity months and years and decades or centuries from now. We really don't know. And that is why the scriptures urge us to walk in waitfulness. There's another thing about all of this end of the world stuff that we need to consider. If we are on the law side of the end of the world, the end of the world is very bad news indeed. And the words of the funeral mass, instead of sounding so terribly and utterly depressing, are actually true. It will be a day of wrath and a day of mourning for those who do not have faith in Christ. But Christians really often miss the point. The day of the end of the world, when sin comes to an end, when death is overthrown, when the graves are burst open and the righteous will rise to live with God forever, is not bad news. It is good news indeed. For finally, finally, what God has wanted since the day that the fall happened and that he has planned and executed through the death and resurrection of his Son, finally the conclusion of all of that will be here. And the dead will raise. Satan and his angels and all of sin will be thrown into the lake of fire forever, and we will live as if the fall had never happened in the Garden of Eden forever and ever. On the cross, you see, Jesus changed that day of wrath and mourning to a day of rejoicing and feasting. He changed it from death to life by bearing away all of the lazy, evil, selfish motives that all of us have when it comes to him and his law and his world, and taking that and dying for that and forgiving our sins once and for all. And so now, when he returns, all of this will come to a wonderful, God-pleasing end, where sin will be no more, and we will live in perfect harmony with God and with our brothers and sisters in Christ forever. So what does that do for us today, at the end of the quarter, hopefully at the end of a presidential election, at the end of many things, approaching the end of the church year. Now we live both as if the Lord would be here any minute now and preserve you from the conclusion of my sermon, to remembering that he could be here a century from now. Even though Luther didn't say it, we agree with what he is said to have said. When someone asked us, what would you do if you knew the end of the world were tomorrow? Luther is falsely reported as having said, I'd go plant an apple tree. And so it is. In our faith, we live as if he will be here any minute now, or as if he will delay for centuries to come. We plan and live in confidence and faith, in joy knowing that God will send his Son one day to finally complete what he has begun. And we also live as if there were centuries more work to do serving him in this kingdom. By both living here and hereafter, Christians can walk in the grace of Christ and through our witness can be a part of what God has in mind, even if the time will be forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds in faith to Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.